Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love him so much. God is so good. He's wonderful. And as we get to know him, as we get to know the Lord, you're going to learn some things you never knew, you never put together. We're not just coming to the Lord. We have to overcome every form of interference that the enemy can come up with against us. So, a lot of times people are looking for relief in their ways, in their doings, the way that they think. They're looking for relief. And the enemy gives them false relief. Anything of the world is false. To the point, it seems to me that people don't know how to live. To save their life, they don't know how to live. They don't know how to thrive in life, even in the joy of the Lord. And they have access to it. The blood of Jesus gives us access to life itself. Jesus is life. His words is life. His ways are life. His doings are life. The blood of Jesus brings us to life. And even with all that, people still don't know how to live. There are so many, you know, I look at how people, you can see what's inside a person's heart by their countenance, if you know how to read it. And I was telling my wife years ago, the Lord taught me this, that, it started with this, an enemy tried to attack me. Just harassed me, gave me a dream. I dreamt about a boy that was a Jehovah Witness trying to convince me to be a Jehovah Witness, basically. And he had been through his training, I guess, and it was a short dream. You know, looking at it from the devil's point of view, You wouldn't expect the kid to know as much as this kid did, and he was so dedicated to his belief system. And I was trying to talk to him like I would do. And then I realized it was a satanic dream, and I woke up. And then I saw a spirit. It had about 9 heads, and each face had an evil countenance. So I did what I would normally do. I rebuked it in Jesus' name, and this time it didn't leave. It just stared at me, and I'm just looking at it. It's looking at me. I said, Lord, that's one ugly demon. Or spirit, whatever I called it. I said, that's one ugly demon. Spirit, whatever I called it. And the Lord said, and I was looking at his face. As he said, that's the essence of who he is. His countenance is the essence of who he is. So whatever people are, in their heart, however they believe in their heart, it gets in their countenance over time. And so in those days, I used to go to the mall, and I remember what the Lord told me, and I would look at, you know, I didn't have anything else to do, so I'd look at people's countenance while I was waiting. And I would sit on the bench out there waiting, and I would see people's countenance, and I saw all kind of things. It's like their countenance tells a story. Now, I've never paid attention to it, but when the Lord alerts you to something, you can tell. And you could see happiness, you could see contentment, you could see despair, you could see people in pain, all kind of things. Whatever was in their countenance, whatever was in their heart, it was in their countenance as well. And it was as if I held a conversation, I would know how to talk to him. Now, the Holy Spirit was guiding me. I wasn't just making stuff up just to sound good. This really happened. And in talking to people that I did know, it was true. So when I saw strangers, I could see the hurt, the disappointment, the joy, whatever was in them, I saw it. And I knew what to look for. And then this is why. If you have to love yourself, just like Jesus loved you, you got to love yourself. Otherwise, if you believe the worst about yourself, even if you're doing positive things, the negative ways you feel about yourself will hinder your efforts. Let me explain. If a man wants to be muscular, so he go to the gym and work out. But if you're looking in the, see, working out is a gradual process. It works over time. You have to keep doing it. You don't just start and stop. You're going to begin to get results. But it's a gradual process. So, you have to, in order for it to work right, you have to believe that it's working. So that your full being would be in agreement with it. You're doing what it takes to be stronger. If you work out like you're supposed to, if you work every muscle group, and a lot of people don't work their stomach area because it's the most aggravating part to work out, sit-ups and stomach exercises. But if you don't do that, you're not going to have a core, and they always hurt their back. You know, when I worked out, they always hurt their back. People that didn't work, they had big old arms the size of my legs, and then they had a weak back because they wouldn't work their core. But the other problem is this. Whether you're trying to lose weight or gain muscle mass, it's a long process. So when they stand in the mirror and they don't see progress, they feel discouraged. Then, I don't know what it does, but it's like it shuts the body down from making the progress. It hinders it. Now, they're doing what it takes, so it's still working. Some people, they grow very strong, but they don't never have the shape or form that they want. And the same thing with women. If they're trying to lose weight or whatever they're doing, if you're in the mirror all the time, it's such a gradual process that you won't see the results. Now, over time, you know, I've seen guys that they had great muscles, like they, you know, much greater than the average, but it's never enough for them because they still think they're skinny. But they walk around looking like the Hulk. I'm using this for an analogy. This works in every area of life. If you feel on the inside a certain way, it's going to get in your countenance. And if you have any form of doubt, you'll be strong as ox, but you'll think you're weak in your mind and in your heart. You'll be bigger than the average guy and you won't realize it. Women will have gotten in shape, but it's never enough. It's just like a woman that becomes anorexic. They're trying to get more skinny. These things are problems. If you believe in what you're doing, and your body's in agreement with your spirit, you'll get in shape like you're supposed to. But if you believe you can't, you'll cut it off all the time in your heart and mind. You have to get over looking in the mirror, looking for it to be a certain way at a fast rate of time. That's not the way to do it. You have to believe, first of all, that God made you. You're a creation. You're complete in Him. That's where you live from. Everything about me is successful. That's what's got to get in your heart. Or you'll never reach your goals like you really want to. And you'll never enjoy life like you want to. You'll put pressure on yourself to measure up to no avail. People will appreciate you for who you are, and you don't even like yourself. So how are you going to treat them? If you don't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else? If you can't appreciate yourself, how can you believe that somebody can appreciate you? You see where this is going? And the enemy will rag your life with that kind of doubt and self downcast forever. What gets us out of it? Focusing on Jesus. What is really important? It's not, if you're trying to measure up, that's a dead end right there all by itself. Jesus measured you up. We're complete in Him. If you're out of shape, in shape, whatever, you are complete in Him. Be thankful. You're going to live forever and your body will change. Even if you don't change it here on this life, in the life to come, you're going to be beautiful. Your body's going to be just like your spirit. You know, I have been jealous of people that were at the top of their life about the inner heaven. They were, my dad used to visit the hospital, and I see people on their deathbed. Now, especially after I got saved, when I got saved, I knew that they were going to heaven. And I have actually been jealous of people because they're going to enter into the kingdom of God. We're all in the kingdom of God, of course, but they're going to go to heaven now. And I felt jealous. I said I want to live a full life, and so when my life is done, I get to go home to be with Jesus. I love Him, and I learned to appreciate Him. But I still got to go to work every day. Now, this is something else I learned from that time. I used to dread my work, in a way. One time, Joyce Meyer said, "Don't dread your work." She talked about that. If you dread it, it's worse. And I learned to enjoy my work. And I think on the Lord while I work. And I listen to His word while, and I enjoy the day. I really enjoy every moment of the day. The morning, my work time, then my when I go get cleaned up, and then my down. I enjoy all of it. Now, because I learned to do that. But if you're doing anything, you got to include the joy of the Lord. Don't repel it. If you're working out, go back to that. This is just an example. Everybody don't really care about working out, but this is a good one. Because, first of all, if you're going to do this, believe that your body is going to adjust like it should. Be in agreement with your faith. Don't go by how it looks, and stay out of the mirror. Don't work out in the mirror. In 2 or 3 months, you'll have results. Especially if you believe that you're beautiful. If you believe that you're worth something. If you believe that you're valued like Jesus valued you. You got to learn to value yourself right now. The shape of your body does not determine your value. Your heart does. I've seen people that were out of shape, but they were so beautiful because their countenance was right. They were living in the joy of the Lord, and it got in their countenance. And they were not in shape, but they were beautiful. It's crazy. Now, what if you were in shape and you were still just as beautiful? You were genuine from the inside out. This can happen. Especially when you include the Lord in your thoughts and the processes of your life. If you're receiving, see, I don't know how others process it, but in Isaiah chapter 11, the Spirit of the Lord will come on Jesus. Spirit of wisdom, knowledge, counsel, might, and of the fear of the Lord. You know, all these, the 7 manifestations of the Spirit of God came on Jesus. Well, guess what? Because it came on Jesus, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to come on us. We have the same thing He had to work with. So when I didn't need knowledge and I knew I had problems, I said, "Lord, I'm going to learn this." I said it by faith, and I knew that I didn't care how I would learn it, but I learned it. I learned the things that I needed from God. Because I have a relationship with Him. I didn't let the world dictate what my state of being was miserable. Because of situations that I didn't understand how to work. I didn't understand how to apply the word in that area. I did what I knew, but it wasn't enough. But what I didn't know, the Lord taught me. Within a 8-month span of time, I learned what I needed to know. I stayed out to God about it. I paid attention to every detail every day He taught me gradually. It was as if I was working out. Let's say in the spirit, I was like a 90-pound weakling. But I decided I was going to grow some strength. And I asked the Lord to teach me how to kill anger, how to kill temptation, things like that. And then how to destroy lust out of my life. And I began to apply the word, and I kept growing and growing, and the Lord kept, and everything He taught me, I applied systematically Well, at the end of all this, he taught me, he showed me, and I couldn't put it in words, but if you love whoever you love, you can't lust after. Whoever you love, you don't have to be angry at them. You can control your emotions through his love. I didn't know that. Nobody ever taught me that. And even if somebody tell you that, it won't really register unless you determine to walk in his kind of love. If his love is valuable to you, it'll make sense. If the love of God is stupid to you, if you write it off as foolishness, it won't make sense either. But the love of God that got Jesus to come off the throne, become a man, die for us, that's the kind of love I'm talking about. You can't love a person like Jesus loved you and wish him any harm. See, lust is not from God. That's from Satan. Fear is not from God. That's from Satan. Doubt and unbelief, all that from Satan. These are the things that keep us downcast. So you can't even make good judgments to enjoy the life that you already got. You'll always be trying to measure up to somebody else's expectation. You see other people and you feel in your heart that you can't be that way. That's a dead end. That's where diseases like cancer comes from. You keep putting yourself in that misery for no reason. And you feel you keep disqualifying yourself, and God, Jesus already qualified you. You have to be in agreement with the salvation that he gave you. I have to be in agreement with the life that he's given me. We all have to be in agreement with God. And we can live and we can do anything. We have full abilities to do whatever it is need to be done. And the Lord will back us. Why isn't it happening? Why don't people regard what God is doing? Why don't they follow him? And see, when you follow God, he's going to start with the most foundational things first. So people, they're like the weightlifter in the mirror. I don't see results. It's not like I thought it would be. I'm just going to give up. Whatever turns them on, that's what they gravitate to. But see, the world's logic can't give you satisfaction, fullness, or joy. The world can give you temporary pleasure. And then you have to sin again to get a small amount of temporary pleasure. You're being baited into the pit. And the more you eat the bait, and the more you run after the bait, the more consumed you are. Every time you follow his bait, you're being hooked. Your heart is getting harder. Your will is getting weaker. And people get into a depression. Gross depression, when people get in gross, I say, well, Lord, what is it with depression? I've never been depressed. He says the opposite of putting the word in your heart. If you have the word in your heart, you have fulfillment, you have joy, you have peace. If you're saved, you put the word in your heart, you come into life, you got life in your bosom. If you're depressed, you have no life in your bosom. No life in your heart. If Christians do this too, they're in covenant, but they're empty inside. The Holy Ghost, they didn't give the Holy Spirit nothing to work with. When you receive the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will help you understand the Word verbatim. He will help you he will connect the dots for you if you bother to put the word in your heart and trust it. If you live your life by it. If you receive God's word enough to act on what you know, the Holy Spirit will make the difference. Especially if you ask him to. And you need to ask him. But the word itself gives you hope so that you can repel the darkness of this world. People that are, they have no word, they're trying to be accepted. That's dangerous because the enemy tempts people as an individual to fear what society thinks collectively. And people don't like everything that society is throwing at them. And everything that's coming down, they don't like it. But they fear it, so they act like they like it. This is how the world works. This is why people are going to take the mark of the beast. They didn't have a relationship with God. He's going to make his lines look good. He's going to make what he's saying look good. It's going to give you a lying hope. You're not going to get anything out of this deal if you go his route. Everything that rejected Jesus will flock to him. People that didn't want Jesus in their life, they're going to have ears for the false prophet and that Antichrist thing. And then he's going to bully people into it. If you don't receive my mark, we're going to cut your head off. Now, what's debating that? What is people? The society is, they like, we can't fight it, so we may as well join it. Then we can shop and we can buy medicine and maybe they'll be easy on us. Baloney. if you take that mark, you can't even get saved. This is what we need to know. God, we need to stay in covenant with God. We need to love him. You know, people that's already in despair, and then they're baited, and they got Satan's hooks in them. Jesus, we preach the word of God to get people out of this mess, and people are still, they debate about whether they believe it or not, or they don't follow through. It goes right back to the parable of the sower. Some people harden their heart so much that they won't even receive the word. Some people receive it, but the word don't grow roots, and they end up back in the world. And some people have too many weeds in their garden to bear fruit. So, this is what must happen. You must receive the word of God in your heart in order to thrive in this life. You don't need props and crutches. It's just like the weightlifter in the mirror. You're making progress, but you can't see it. If you believe that you're not making progress, you're really not making the progress you want. You're making some because you're still there putting forth effort, but you can't enjoy what was being done. Now, the easy way to do all this is receive what God is saying, understand that it's working, and you're moving towards a desired goal. Enjoy what you can now. Enjoy the presence of God now. Enjoy what you know about God today. Because everything's going to change. You're becoming more skilled, and you will become fully more skilled in life. You're going to learn what you're after. You're going to gain what you're after. You're going to prosper day by day. You took time to get to know the Lord. It's working. You have to keep your focus on him. And then you can see the world for the lie that it really is. You'll see the world in this doomed condition. And the bait of it, you'll see it for what it is. You know that there's hooks in it. You know it's a dead end road. Don't go down it. The pavement looks good at first, but it gets ragged and full of potholes. And it becomes so narrow to turn around, and then it's dangerous. You know this. You know not to go down that dead end road because you've been in the presence of the Lord. What's going to happen to your countenance? That joy is going to be in your countenance, and you're going to be very beautiful. What's going to happen to your appetites? With the knowledge that you learn from the Lord, you're going to elevate. You're going to grow from glory to glory. You'll stop depending on what other people think. You'll stop depending on outside sources to make you happy. And you'll be able to enjoy your life and those around you. When people can't do the things that you want to do to make you have joy because God is in you, You don't need them to be happy. But when they're fun to be around, you can enjoy them. But if they turn their switch off and don't want to go have fun, don't want to laugh and and enjoy the day, you still got the joy of the Lord, and you can encourage them when they need you the most and help prevent them from becoming depressed. You can be a real friend to your friends. You can be a real spouse to your spouse. You can be a real parent to your children. You can be a blessing to your pastor and your church family and your friends. When they have needs, sometimes Jesus said, I'm about to go spend time in the garden with my Father. And here come a multitude of hungry, beat up people, aggravated by the world, and they need hope. He could minister to them in season. In season, when you first wake up, I feel like preaching. Here come a multitude. Oh, yes, let's do it. Out of season. Oh, I had a long day, a long trip, long walk. We walked for 30 miles. Now I'm finna go spend time with my Father before I go to sleep under the stars. Here come a hungry multitude with no food. Out of season. Jesus preached to them, encouraged them. And then he'd do a miracle and feed them. That's my King. And then he goes spend time with the Father and go to sleep under the stars. So think about it this way. What can turn you off if God turns you on? You have to take time. We are three-part beings. Spirit, soul, and body. I do things. I receive the word because it's joy. It's not labeled to me. I enjoy all of it. Whatever God gives me to read, study, or think about, I receive it. But then I'm having a good time. I know it's fortifying me. The Lord knows what's down the road, what's around the corner, and he prepares me for things. He prepares me to teach things that people need. He cares about them as individuals. And people are on different levels spiritually. People don't walk in the same glory. They have different problems, varied problems. I want your problem solved. God wants them solved. But you got to focus on him to cooperate. Just like the weightlifter. He's doing what he's supposed to do, but he's not in agreement with what he's doing because he's looking in the mirror and the results are coming slow. The results come as slow as they're supposed to. You can't lift weights to this week and look like Hulk Hogan used to look next week. It don't work that way. You start where you are and you build up. Your bones have to be prepared. You have to eat right and you have to sleep right. A lot of things go into it. So the word of the Lord comes and protects everything. He gives you foundation. He fortifies you against pride. He fortifies you against lust. He fortifies you against fear. He fortifies your life against unbelief and doubt. These are the things you have to have in place so that when he teaches you, you can keep it. And he does it in love. But from the beginning to the stage where you see results, there's a duration, but there's joy with God all along. And you can enjoy your time with God in every stage. From the time that you just begin to learn, when you're in the hope stage, and you're believing by faith, but it's not finished yet. When it's finished, from the time you begin to the stage is finished, the whole duration you can enjoy the Lord. When it is finished, you can enjoy the Lord. You have greater abilities and you can strengthen your brothers. When Jesus was captured, when he went with the soldiers, he told Peter, he said, you're going to deny me before the cock crow. Satan wants to sift your mind as wheat. He said, but I pray for you. And when you're strengthened, strengthen your brothers. See, in his in his moment of weakness, Jesus had already prayed for him. He got it right. He became strong. Then he strengthened his brothers. So all the apostles were standing on Peter's shoulders. You get this? He told Peter this, not John, not James, Peter. They're standing on his shoulders because he strengthened them, because Jesus strengthened him. That's what life is like. That's what it's about. Become as strong as you possibly can in him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8. That, read the whole chapter, Nehemiah 8. They were building the wall in the most dangerous times, but they did it. Now I want to close with this. This is Paul writing in Romans chapter 14. He said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." If you can focus on Jesus, the part I want you to focus on most is the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but this is what you focus on. But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of things your abilities come alive in joy, in the joy of the Lord. Include God in everything. You don't need anything to make you complete. He's already done that for you. Live from there. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.